Welcome to our thought for the day. As we continue our series in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, we come to verse 5. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says this to them: "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity of opening up your word. And we ask that as we read and think together about this verse, that you might speak to us and help us to apply it to the way that we live. And Lord, we ask for your blessing upon us through the rest of this day. And we ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the third beatitude in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says to his disciples, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." I wonder whether you're someone more inclined to stand up or more inclined to bow down. You see, for me, the intriguing question is, what does Christ mean by meek? Society often uses that word to describe timidity, to paint the picture of a dormouse type of personality, a quiet, rather introverted man or woman. Even the Oxford Dictionary speaks of meek as being tamely submissive. The image it creates is of someone who wouldn't say boo to a goose, who never asserts themselves, who is easily lost in a crowd, who avoids the limelight, who perhaps even unkindly in today's slang might be described as a wimp. Perhaps we even think of Jesus not only as one who is the epitome of graciousness and love, but also as one who is somewhat afraid and undemanding, someone who allows himself to be overrun by the wicked plots of men because of some weakness of character. If we do think of Jesus in that way, then we're clearly out of step with what the Bible reveals. Meekness does not equal weakness. Undoubtedly, this beatitude, "Blessed are the meek," may at times sound like a mandate to allow the world to run roughshod over the church, for the disciples of Christ to be called to accept whatever comes their way. It could almost be construed as a sense of encouraging that approach that we describe as fatalistic, in which we simply shrug our shoulders and say, "What will be, will be." Such an interpretation of this verse falls clearly short of what Jesus is teaching. Certainly there will be times when we must turn the other cheek, whatever our old nature might have wanted us to do. There will be circumstances in which it pleases God to allow Christians to endure periods of suffering at the hands of the world. Such periods might be used to build a purified and spiritually strengthened church. Meekness is indeed closely associated with humility. But whereas poverty of spirit spoke of our spiritual state before God, the call to meekness is a call to an attitude not only in relating to God, but also in relating to our fellow man. If the first and second Beatitudes are focused on our relationship with God, then this third beatitude also directly affects the way I behave towards others. Here in this beatitude is the utter total condemnation of the concept of pride in the life of the follower of Jesus Christ. A pride that could mar our Christian witness and hinder our Christian development. A pride that would reject the authority and teaching of Scripture simply because it doesn't agree with our own thinking. pride that does not seek forgiveness of sin before God, but persists in a backslidden condition. Pride that does not seek reconciliation with our fellow man, even though we know that we are to blame for division. The macho, be strong or be a failure image that the world presents, is the complete opposite of this verse. And how careful we need to be that the world's attitude is not the one that pervades the life of the believer. Meekness, humility, submission have far more to do with bowing down than with standing up. The meek do not bear grudges or harbour resentment. They're accepting of what God permits, for they've humbled themselves before the Lord. They think of others more highly than themselves. They are not brash or assertive, but gracious of language and of behaviour. The meek talk only of privileges and not of rights, because they have been brought to that place, to the foot of the cross, where there is no self-righteousness, but only love, where there is no pride, but only mercy, where there is no self-worth, but only grace. In the world today and in the society around us, image is very important. The achiever is someone with plenty of drive and charisma. The attractive male must have a macho appearance. Eloquence is equated with superiority. The impressive appearance, the employment position we hold, the house we own, the car we drive, the language we use, the way we speak, is often considered more significant than spirituality, esteemed more highly than those qualities that the Bible emphasizes, such as integrity and reliability and humility and dedication. Blessed are the meek still turns the world's thinking, our society's approach, upside down. Graham Kendrick, a modern hymn writer, captured the essence of Christ in these words: meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. The Lord Jesus encompassed both meekness and majesty and says to his followers, "Blessed are the meek."